You start off, I thought it'd be fun just maybe to share something to the person sitting next to you or behind you, in front of you. Look at someone this morning and just say, you matter. You say that to someone?
You matter.
Find someone behind you, in front of you.
Yeah.
Cool. And then this one you can just say to yourself, you can say it out loud, just say, I matter. I matter, yeah. And I know that maybe that feels strange or weird to maybe think or say those things, but I want to look at that a little bit more this morning, that the person sitting next to you, you matter, but also each one of you matter, as well as others. And I want to go from that idea, not just from a, oh, that's a fun thing to say, but to see that that's actually the heartbeat of God, that each one of us matters. And us working together, as I think the Lord's been speaking so well through us this morning, be a bracelet, an example of love to the world. And so we'll look at that a little bit more in a moment. We'll be looking at two passages, so I'm looking at two different ones, and I'll probably hit out on a more general theme, so you can go back and look at it a little bit more if you want, but the Lord put on my heart to talk about life in community. So we'll be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 20 to start out, looking at community. Last week, I was talking about life in the Spirit. We looked at the example of Philip, who is led by the Spirit in these amazing ways, and just the fullness of joy and passion for sharing Jesus wherever he went. But it's not, as we probably know, church is not meant to be just a solo sport, right? Church is a team sport, actually. It's very much not. And a team sport is a good illustration, but that even breaks down, because in the Bible, it's really the church, the people, not the building, is really a body. Where a team, you sometimes gather and disperse, whatever, but a body, it's pretty uncomfortable, right? If you're taking off an arm and reattaching it next week or something, right? We're meant to be knit together in Christ. And we will look at that and the imagery that the Apostle Paul shares at church at Corinth. So let's look at that this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 20. It says, for just as the body is one, has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one in the body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and were all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, this is key, right here, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Let's take a moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we just thank you how you use it to speak to the church at Corinth, through the Apostle Paul. And Lord, you speak to us here in Potsdam on this beautiful spring morning. God, may these words go to our heart. Father, I pray that we would be transformed to look more and more like your son, Jesus. In your name, amen. So I want to talk just about a couple big themes from here. It could be unpacked probably even more, because I don't want to look at another passage that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. We get this body of Christ imagery. So if you're in Christ, God makes it really clear that not only do you have a relationship with Jesus, which is awesome, sometimes we can think of that level, but you're actually part of a body. body of Christians, which is really neat. Sometimes it can be easy to think of, I can just do my relationship with Jesus alone, and that's all I really need to do, right? Because Jesus died for me, he took off the handcuffs, so to speak, put on the bracelets, and I'm just going to focus on loving Jesus, and that's where it is. And it's easy to fall into that, especially if we're busy, or if we've had hurt, or things have not gone right in certain settings. And we're just like, you know what, I just want to pull back and do me with God, and that's going to be cool. But God really makes an emphasis that we're actually, if you're in Christ, if you know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you're part of the body. Amen? Right? Yeah. So that whole idea of like, well, I'll just be separated and play solo actually isn't it's not a biblical concept. It's a human concept. I don't want to do it myself, but really, you're part of the body. I want to look at that in a couple just points from this passage. So Paul makes it really clear to the church at Corinth that everyone who is in Christ is a part of the body which is the church. He makes mention, if you look at the passage just before in 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 11, we'll see the gifts that are given to the church body. But then he brings this imagery of different body parts, which he's referring to like people as an example, but either saying, I don't matter, or you don't matter. And the first one is different. He's using imagery of a body part saying, like, I don't think I belong compared to someone else. I don't think I really need to be here because of someone else. And it's really this self-condemning thought that, yes, maybe I know who I am in Christ, but I don't think I really matter to the body. And I'm sure maybe some of us, we struggled with that before. And a group this big, maybe even this morning, you struggle with that. Like, I know God loves me, but I just don't really belong. Like, I can show up on a service, but I'm not really part of the body. You know, I'm just on the fringe. I'm an outsider. If you knew what I did, like, no one's gonna want me to be part. And it's almost like doing like a self amputation, so to speak. I'm just gonna decide not to be part of the body. And it's very clear. Paul's giving this affirmation and warning that is not the right mindset to have. You're in that place, or whether it's hurt, brokenness, or just really thinking something different, I pray that you would be encouraged and healed this morning to know that you do matter. And you do have a place in the body. Paul goes on to say that if it's not self-condemnation, how many of you know it can be so easy to condemn others, right? Well, some of us might have difficulty, like, I just condemn myself all the time, and then others are like, well, if you know what they did, or he did, or she did, they are not part of the body, right? It's like, look, they don't, they can't belong. Like, I know they love Jesus, good brother and sister, but that arm needs to go over there, and we'll be fine without it. But Paul's making the point, no, you can't do that. And it can be so easy to do that. And a lot of times it's easy to do that when we get into a place of pride, right? We start elevating ourselves that I've messed up, and not as bad as they have, and I've done this before. It's like, then you look at someone and you kind of see them in their brokenness and forget that God looks at us looking at Jesus on the cross when he sees this person. So he sees them in the righteousness of Christ. And so having the perspective of God, Lord, if I'm looking at a brother or sister in a way who knows Christ in a way that does not reflect you, maybe the issue isn't so much them, the issue is more than me in the way that I'm looking. We don't want to condemn ourselves, nor do we want to condemn others. Later in Scripture, it says, Paul is writing, he says, therefore, there's now no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Isn't that awesome? So if you're getting like a condemning, self-condemning thought, or you struggle with that, know that that is not from the Lord. There is no condemnation in Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
No condemnation in Jesus Christ. So if that's the case, then why would I entertain these thoughts that would tell me otherwise? Sometimes they're self-thoughts. Sometimes there's external influences through Satan, through demonic powers that want to discourage Satan, who's a defeated foe, but has still some power. One of his titles is the father of lies. Like, that's his skill set. Like, that's where he's mastered at. And so let's just sneak this in. You don't matter. You don't have a place. You don't really belong. People don't really like you. Like, they're just acting like they do, right? And they get this all, you, all these condemnation. No, that's not from Jesus. Jesus brings conviction, right? He'll point out things wrong with hope of a future. Condemnation says, you don't belong, and you'll never belong. Jesus, there's no condemnation. So if you have those tapes going through your head, or CDs, or MP3s, or Spotify playlists of self-condemnation, throw them out. Scripture says to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Take every single thought captive You're just letting that play on reloop. You're like, you know, Lord, I'm going to submit this thought, take that one thought, and give it to Jesus. If you have too many thoughts in your mind, write them down somewhere, type them down, something. Get them down. Be like, Lord, I give you all of these to you. Because I want to base my thought and my identity not on how I feel, not on what other people say, but by who God says I am. And Lord, when it comes to others, may I have your perspective. May I have your love. And may I love with hope. I'm not going to look at this passage, but it's so great. Just a little bit past this passage is a passage in 1 Corinthians 13, which is often used at weddings. It's often referred to as the love chapter. Really awesome imagery there. But it wasn't actually used in this context for a wedding. It's actually talking about being the body of Christ, using gifts, and doing it in love. Love is the fuel for our redemption. Love is also the fuel for us growing in Christ. And love is actually the very thing that knits us together as a body. That's like the glue. It's God's love. And you can look at that this week if you like, 1 Corinthians 13. But one of the things I love in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about love hopes all things. So if you look at someone else, and you only can see the worst in them, and see no hope, you're not holding hands with Jesus, you're holding hands with the devil. Because he's the father of lies, right?
Amen.
He's the one that says, you know what, that person has no future. And you're like, you know what, I agree they have no future. Where Jesus is saying, they have a future because I am the future.
Amen.
And in me, there's new life and new hope. Love hopes all things. Even in situations of brokenness and people that seem impossible, we must remember that God is a God who does the impossible. He works miracles, and he works miracles today. So with that kind of perspective, to say, hey, that person's struggling, I'm going to be praying for them. They got some stuff to work on. But man, in Christ, if they keep going there, there's a new blossom of potential that can happen. So a warning and encouragement, do not exclude yourself, but do not also exclude others. I wanted to look at the big picture. There's a lot more in this passage you could look at. But for time, I also want to look at another passage where Apostle Paul is also encouraging the church at Ephesus with a very similar theme. We'll look there at Ephesians chapter 4. It says this. It says, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers. It was like the church leaders right there. This is really important. To equip the saints. And when it's using the word saints here, it's referring to those who are brothers and sisters in Christ, not to like a statue or holier than thou. It says those who know Christ, they may do, have those bracelets, using that theme still of Jesus. But all these leaders, the goal is to equip the saints, the believers, for something. It says, for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. I'm going to pause there. So I know when I grew up in a church, I always thought, and I'll just be honest, when I grew up in a church in Connecticut, a bunch of them in New Hampshire, I always just thought, like, the person up front doing what I'm doing right now is the person that's supposed to do everything that God asked the church to do. I don't know if you ever thought that. I know it's silly now, but like, now that I'm here, I'm like, oh no, that is the worst thought ever. Oh Lord, I'm not infinite. I'm a finite, broken man in need of grace every day. But then I realized, looking at scripture, that wow, that's actually not the emphasis. The emphasis actually is the pastors or leaders of this church or other churches. The whole goal is actually to equip the whole body, you guys, everyone who knows Jesus, to go out and do the work of ministry.
Amen.
That this is really almost in some ways, if you're into like football, it's almost like a big huddle. For those with football, right? Huddle in, get everyone together. We're here for like 90 minutes. Maybe for some, we leave quickly, so 91 minutes right after the service. Others, maybe 120 minutes, whatever. But we huddle in, we get together, hopefully we're encouraged, we encounter God with great praise and worship. Hopefully there's some teaching that edifies us, prophetic confirmation, great fellowship opportunities. But that's only like 90 to 120 minutes of the week, right? There's a lot of other things to be doing during the week. So in some ways, coming to church is almost like having a huddle. It's like, hey, let's huddle up, let's refocus, let's praise God. And then when we break this huddle, let's go take Potsdam and Canton and Colton and Norwood and everywhere around here for Jesus. Amen? That's the game plan. So the idea is like, I'm just going to huddle on Sunday. And this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to huddle somewhere else in a small group. And then I'm just going to kind of jump from one to the one to one to the one. That's like a football team just like, all right, what's their play? We're going to huddle. Nice. What are we going to do after a break? We're actually going to go to the other side of the field and huddle again, right? And we're going to huddle and huddle, and the camera's going to be like, where are they going? Where are they? Back here. Eventually, it's like they just huddle here, 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 here. Really easy to film. God is calling us to take ground for Him. Take the kingdom of God on these campuses to the communities, and as we were hearing before, Benny did a great job, to countries around the world. Lord, I want to be part of playing the game, so to speak, that I would break out of this huddle. Each one of you are part of the body. Each one of you have a place to play. Not just on Sunday. Sunday's actually, it's important, but how you're playing all week is really, really important. Am I living for Jesus? Am I sharing and showing God's love to others? If I'm not, Lord, would you show me how I can do that? So let's go at verse 13. So it says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's where we're going. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the wave, and carried around by every kind of every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. It says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. So who is the head of the body? Christ, right? Yeah, that's it. You're all part of the body, but once again, remember, we're not like the most important part. Jesus is the most important part. From whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in, what's that word?
Love.
Boom. There we go. That is the key. That whatever we do as a body, it needs to be fueled in love. Now, that's easy when we think of let's encourage someone. Yeah, let's do that in love. But it also says speaking the truth in love. That can be a little bit more tricky, right? You know, when there's a brother or sister that you want to encourage and continue growing towards maturity in Christ, how do you do that in love? If you take all truths, you can say, like, you know, so-and-so, he or she has a big issue, this is what it is, good luck, it's never going to happen. Oh, that's truth. Yeah, might be there. Pretty harsh. And then we can like water down love and like not in the full meaning of the gospel. We're just kind of like, you know what you're doing is okay. Jesus says that it's a sin. It's not a big deal, right? You just gotta love, you know? It talks about speaking the truth in love that we can grow. And that's actually a blessing, even though sometimes it sounds a little scary. To use a personal example from my life, three years ago, there was a week that the Lord wanted me to really grow and specifically one area, and that was listening. I was like, what? But listening. And I was like, okay. And I'm so thankful to be in a church body where people want to express truth ideas most of the time in love. So I remember one day, my wife, I was talking to her, Crystal, who I love so much. And she's just like, hey, Jim, I gotta let you know, like, love you, care about you, all that good stuff, but you're not so great at listening. I was like, no, this can't be true. Because I rated myself, like, really high. I don't know, I never really rated. I didn't have, like, a scale on my wall. Listening, but I thought I was doing really well. So I'm like, okay, one person, probably need to think about that. All right, that was me with one of our staff members. This is the same week. And she was saying, like, you know, I really care about you, very loving. But she was like, you know, you really don't listen well. It's like, bam, twice. I was like, I know the Lord has a message for somebody else for listening, but it's not me right now. Now I'm like, you know, I really should, okay, I guess I got an area to grow in. Okay, and it was well done and very loving. And then we happened that week to also be doing this thing called the 360 review, where we try to encourage each other as pastors and to keep growing. Like, what are our strengths? What are areas we need to grow in? And the pastors, in a very loving way, love the other pastors I get to serve with, were like, hey, there's one area we noticed that maybe you could grow in. We've seen some interactions. I'm like, oh no. What is it? Like, I eat too many hot dogs? Or, like, you know, what's going on? It's like, we noticed you could grow in listening. I was like, oh, right? It's like, man. But I'll tell you, whenever I see that at first, it's kind of like, okay, this is kind of heavy. Five people in one week sharing the same thing. But now I look back on it, and I'm just like, you know, Lord, you're so good that you give my brothers and sisters in Christ a message for me, presented in love. That's key, right? You're like, Jim, we see that you can grow in a greater place in reflecting Christ, specifically loving people with how you can listen to them. And we want you to know that. What a miss that would have been if none of them had shared that with me, right? I would have just thought, and if you had to go around the room, we're not going to do this. There's all areas we can grow in, right? Each one of us has an area we can grow in. Or like maybe multiple areas we can grow in, whether it be listening or other things. But to be able to receive that truth in love, but also being willing to share that. I think that's key if we want to grow together, that we can encourage one another and point to each other, not to be critics, but to be coaches, to build each other up in a way that really just point to Jesus, that he would receive all glory, honor, and praise. So we're a body, body of Christ, the church. We don't want to condemn ourselves, we don't want to condemn others, we want to speak the truth in love. So, if we're all functioning together and working together, what are we hoping to do? Well, I've been recently reading a book that looked great at scripture that was recommended to me by the Coles, the pastors. We just started reading this. And I wanted to share just an overview of it with you really quick. So there's a book called Breaking the Huddle. This idea, which I already mentioned, Christians coming together, doing stuff on Sunday, maybe during the week, but breaking that and really going out, all of us together, and being the hands and feet of Jesus during the week. And it talked about three different kind of communities, or witnessing communities, which I wanted to focus on. The first one is this huddled idea. I kind of already put a picture or mentioned it. This idea of just kind of like, hey, meet together, huddle, see you at the next huddle, high five, go, well, don't get them, but have a fun week, right? You're huddled, you're not getting out of the huddle. This kind of community, as we're reading this book, has a limited witness focus. So the focus is like, there's a real passion for the lost, those that don't know Jesus. Like, there's definitely words of like, you know, Jesus came to seek and save the lost, go make disciples of all nations. Real good, like, you know, it's like, hey, that's there. But the actual, like, play out during the week is super limited. And then this kind of community, maybe, I don't know, occasionally or rarely, maybe someone might give their life to Jesus, you know, from a whole church body and having a community impact. It's very rare, very limited, much more inward thinking than outward thinking. And it's very easy for any church to do this. The next one is called witnessing. So it's intentionally engaging more. The other one had a limited witness. This one's engaged in witness. And it's making those steps. It's trying to, a couple people are going out and trying to reach out and pray and share their faith and go out and do that during the week. And they're seeing, you know, maybe a couple more intentional people coming to the Lord on, I don't know, maybe a yearly basis or whatever. But lastly, the point which the book made, I think, the heartbeat of what Jesus also would say, is having a community which isn't a limited witness or engaged in witness, but it really aligns around witnessing. That every single person in the church body sees that they have a piece to play during the week, that they're prayed up, they're charged up in the Holy Spirit, and they're all engaged. So instead of like a couple, like one or two, or five or 10, or 20 or 30, whatever, it's like, hey, we're all part of this. I'm still learning things. I don't know things. I'm nervous. I'm scared. I'm stepping out in faith in the Holy Spirit. It's risky. It's fun. I'm excited to do that. But all of us being engaged. And I believe that's what the Lord desires for us here at New Hope, is to be that kind of community. And we're going there, by the way, which is really exciting. I keep hearing more stories of people like, hey, pray for my non-Christian friend or this person. I'm excited. Can we see this? How do I share faith, testimonies, prophetic confirmation, growth and passion and for Jesus and sharing? So there's really cool things happening right now, so I want to encourage you. But I believe there's room to grow. Amen?
Amen.
Myself included. Lord, I want to be able to, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, I'd love to reach out to new people each week. Maybe just at Walmart, walking around or on the sidewalk. Look, if you prompted me, I was thinking, man, if each one of us were like going through a week, God, I'm just open to be used by you. Might there be a way to maybe bring someone to church on Sunday? Or maybe I could have them over for lunch. Or maybe we could go to one of those food trucks right across from the movie theater and just chit-chat and talk and get the point to Jesus. But if we're all actively engaged, we'll have opportunities to share Christ and show Christ. Now, when I mention that, I will mention this. None of us can actually save anyone. Woo! Gotta get that out there, right? Otherwise, you're like, oh, this is just too much weight, you know? Let's go get them. Beautiful thing is, Jesus has saved people. He's drawn people to himself. But he has equipped us and called us to go share the gospel. Amen?
Amen.
Right? So that's something he's calling us to do. So we don't control people's responses, but we can share the truth of Jesus, the hope of the gospel, and love with those that we meet, whether they're family, friends, co-workers, or just complete strangers. And we can do that during the week. We can break the huddle, and we can go play. And let me tell you, it is scary to step out of faith and do this, but it is so worth it. I'll just be honest, I've never had more joy than the moments when I step out of faith. Like, you know, I'm just going to go over and talk to that person because God wants me to, and share Jesus with them. And just be open to those kind of moments as the Holy Spirit leads. So a couple of things I want to review as we're wrapping up. I'll invite up the musicians at this time. Don't disqualify yourself. God has qualified you. Don't disqualify others, because God has qualified the other person. Let us be a body that engages in love in a way that reflects Jesus. Also, let Christ's word have the final, I guess, word, so to speak, in our conversations with self and others. Let Christ rule your heart. Let God's peace be the one that's calling the shots. It should be a place of anxiety or insecurity. And you're just like, this is what I think about myself. It's good to acknowledge that and give it to the Lord. But please receive what God has in Scripture. Be like, you know, Lord, even if I'm struggling with feeling to tell me something else, I still want to believe what your word says about me more than how I feel about what you say about me. And let's have that heartbeat for others. And God, let me love others. Jesus even said it this way when it comes to loving others. He says he brought it to an expanse that's just incredible. It's like, love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. So if you're thinking like, I don't think love extends that far, Jesus brought it to the farthest place you could go and beyond. Ask the Lord for help. It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. In a moment, I'm just going to pray before we have this closing song. Originally when I wrote this, I was going to say, you are part of God's plan to bring his hope to this world. But then I was like, it's true, but it's really we are God's plans. Because Christ's body is together. A lot of times we focus on the individual, God cares for you. But he's really coming back for his church, his bride, the body of Christ. One person, but with many more people attached to it. And realizing that, I think, is important. Let's take a moment just to listen to the Holy Spirit, and then I'll pray. I want to take a moment and ask the Lord, Lord, what would it look like this week for me to step out and bring the hope of Jesus Christ to the spheres of influence that I already have? Just ask the Lord. Some of you already know where to go, and you got targets, and you're praying that way, and you're moving that way. That's great. We recently started some revival prayer meetings recently, and my wife leads one on Sundays, I lead one on Tuesdays. And it was cool. I was talking to Chris. I love the way she worded. She's like, Jim, we're not praying for revival. We're praying in revival. And there's a difference there. We're not praying for revival, we're praying in revival. If we don't see revival, then we're just not aligning ourselves where the Holy Spirit is moving. And he is moving in the North Country. It's amazing. So I encourage you, ask the Lord, God, what would it look like for me to bring your hope in word and deed this week, God? And we're just going to take just a couple of seconds to be quiet, just to listen. You can ask him, and then I'll pray in a moment. Heavenly Father, speak to us. Show us, God, ways that we can be your hands and feet this week to others. Let's just take a moment to listen to our Heavenly Father. I just thank you for your faithfulness to us. Lord, I thank you for the faithfulness just in this specific small, this church, but your global church. God, sing it back, Lord, in the 70s when I think it was weekly, Lord, you were bringing people to yourselves and coming to know Christ. And God, I pray for just a fresh move here in this body, in the local churches in this area. God, that we could be faithful in sharing the gospel with love and boldness and truth. I pray for open hearts to receive. And God, I pray that we would be led by you each day, moment by moment, making the most of every opportunity for us. Ask this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.